This is 4:55 on Wednesday, October 5th. If I remember to do what I'm supposed to do, but I didn't do that, so. All right. Good morning. Not so many people here. So I'm going to hand back the exam, but before handing it back, I wanted everybody to see the curve or the histogram of the scores so that you knew that maybe you weren't alone if things didn't look so bad. And I'm going to be talking with you about how we're going to recover from this debacle, because it certainly is a debacle. And I don't believe it's of my doing, but I could have contributed to it. So the point is, people need to succeed in the class, right? And I look not only at the scores, but looking at the exams, people are not succeeding in the class. That's the issue. And so we got to do that. So to facilitate that, please do the following. I'm going to hand back the exams. Do not write on the exams. Right? Just leave them as they are. If you're going to take notes today, take it on a separate sheet of paper, okay? Not on the exam. Because what's going to happen is that we're going to go over the exam today, and then you will have until Wednesday next week to redo it, and I'll tell that. But you know that redoing is going to depend on my being able to see what you did originally, right? So I don't want you to write on the exams. If people come in late and sit next to you, will you please tell them that, all right? Okay, so with that,
did I start?
So I'm going to record all the names as I call them out, but, you know, whatever. Muhammad. Michael.
Alvin?
No, you're going to turn them in with what you turn in to me on Wednesday.
All right. So what to do about this, right?
There are just too many that... I mean, sometimes the appropriate thing to do is to sort of add the difference between the high score and the number possible to everybody's grade.
Doesn't fix the problem, right?
The number possible turns out 98.
If I do that, then still
half the class is either not passing or barely passing.
Okay? So what's going to is... We'll go over the questions today. I won't give you the answers, but I'll talk about what the issues were in the answers,
and then you will have until next Wednesday to write up
a paper, essentially, that goes through all the questions on which you missed points, or on which you at least want to get more points, and tell me, where's my notes? And tell me the reason you missed the points, right? Did you not read the question correctly? Did you not read the question all the way through? There was a lot of that, I think. Did you not understand the question? Right? Sometimes that's an issue. Did you not understand the topic about which the question applied? Sometimes that's an issue. Did you sort of really get it, but just sort of mess up? Sometimes that happens. Did you forget an essential step along the way? And I saw evidence of that. You know, there's just a whole lot of different reasons for people missing these points, but what I don't have is evidence of your mastery of the material, and that's what I want to get. So that's what we're going to do. Yeah, your name? Okay, so
don't write on the exam. Because you're going to bring it back in just as it is, along with this additional paper that,
as I said, explains why you got it wrong and a new solution to whatever problem there was that, and we'll go over the questions without answers today. All right. So I didn't have time to write. I've been sort of wrestling with what to do since I finished grading the exams, and it was only late this morning that I decided what to do. So I didn't get these instructions written up quite yet, but I'll post those on the web page. And so you'll turn that in. You'll turn in the exam and the additional paper next Wednesday in class. Right? You won't turn it in online. This is really more work than I wanted to do to sort of essentially regrade all the exams, but I think it's the best thing to ensure that everybody actually gets this material, and that's really the point here. All right. Anything else about the process? Oh, yeah. So what do you get for doing this? Suppose you don't do this. You don't turn anything else. You will just get the score that you turned in. You turn it in, and you know, everything is acceptable. You will get up to half the difference between your score and a perfect score. All right. So for some people, that isn't enough to push you into passing territory. But that's enough to put you into not too deep a hole to recover from, right, as far as passing. Whereas currently, you take those scores, that's a really deep hole to recover from. You don't want that. So, and you will actually, hopefully, master the material in the process. Questions about the process? We'll get to the questions on the exam in a second. Everybody understand what we're going to do? All right. Janine? Don't write on the exam, okay? Take some notes today and see me after class. All right, so let's look at these problems. What's this?
Are you recording?
I am recording. Thank you. But that's Very good question. We want this recorded for sure. All right.
Question one. Most people got this fine. I didn't see too much evidence of difficulty here. If there were losses of points, they were largely due to sort of just not being sufficiently detailed in your response. Right?
So that one's not bad.
Question 1B. What I was looking for here was the steps that the protocol goes through. And what happened was I had the sense that a lot of people stopped reading after what protocol is used. All right? Yes. When you use your browser to visit www.wsu.edu, what protocol is used? HTTP, right? Well, that's not what the question is about. Go on and read the rest of it. What protocol is used, and what are the steps within the protocol to resolve the human-readable name to the server's IP address? That's what the question is about. Okay? And once you sort of dig into that question, there are multiple steps in that protocol, right? And some people didn't understand how that protocol worked. There were some people who had us looking at things sort of backwards, where we asked first about www and at the end about edu, sort of didn't understand how that protocol worked. So,
okay, but the big one was not reading the question, I think. Questions? All right, this was an example of the kind of problems that we did a lot of clicks questions on.
Let's go over the units that should appear on every answer. All right, and that will hopefully help. So what is a propagation delay? What are the units?
Seconds,
milliseconds, some variant of seconds.
Time,
right? Transmission time, what are the units?
Time,
seconds, milliseconds, something. Bandwidth delay product. It is exactly what it says, right? It's the product of the bandwidth and the delay. Some people are confused about what is bandwidth and what is delay. So the bandwidth that we're talking about here is not the rate at which the sender is sending. That's different. We're talking bandwidth the link. It's the link and not the way the sender is using it. Okay. And the delay, and you may have gotten credit for this one based on a mistake in this calculation. You know, if you use the answer from this one correctly in this one, then you got full credit, even though it was in some sense wrong. But it showed that you understood what was going on there. And okay, and then we'll talk about utilization separately. The other thing that people are confused about, some people are confused about, is what power of 10 corresponds to megabits?
10 to the 6th,
not 10 to the 3rd, and not 10 to the 9th. This is important, folks. You know, if you're being asked to analyze a situation and you're off by a factor of 1,000, you have no credibility. Right? So, I told you, I think on the very first day of class, that was something important to get under your belts, and so I'm surprised it's still an issue. All right, utilization. So,
see, do I still have open? talked about this during the review, and obviously people didn't understand, a lot of people, the majority of the class, in fact, did not understand my remark about utilization, so...
So, almost everybody, not everybody, but almost everybody, a large majority, gave me an answer based on this formula. I told you during the exam review that was not going to be the right answer. Okay? One thing that I see here is people giving answers that come off of their cheat sheets rather than thinking about problems. I don't give exams where answering off of the cheat sheet is probably the right thing to do. Okay? Got deeper. The cheat sheet can be very helpful, but the cheat sheet is not going to have the answers to the exam, largely. Yes?
Can you point us to notes on bandwidth-delay product utilization, where we can actually read up what we're talking about right now? Because it's not in our book. The bandwidth-delay product is
Bandwidth-delay product is in the book. It's in chapter 1.
It is. It's explained differently than it's explained in the slides.
Okay. But it isn't. Bandwidth delay product is exactly what it says. And you had a homework problem about it. Right? Remember chapter 1 homework. There was a question about going through a bunch of calculations. Why then is the bandwidth delay product important? Okay? It's definitely there. Utilization is not the same thing as bandwidth. Utilization is a fraction of the amount, a fraction of the bandwidth that is actually being used by the sender. And it's defined to be the amount being used over the capacity. That's always what utilization is, regardless of what field you're in. If you're talking about freeways, if you're talking about gas station lines, bank lines, utilization is always how much is being used over the capacity. All right? This formula pertains specifically only to the situation where we have a stop and wait operation. Right? So utilization in this picture is the blue amount over the white amount. Yes? And for this stop and wait operation, that turns out to be this. But that's not what was described in the problem on the exam. The problem on the exam, we have a sender who's sending a certain number of bits per second, and the link has a certain capacity per second. Okay? Should be easy to figure out what the utilization is. Question.
Yeah, this was the one where I really felt, oh, what's utilization? Look at the notes. Yes, call it.
So this is a question for number, or letter B, part B. Converting my bits per second to bits per second.
Uh-huh.
They told me to use, the link bandwidth instead. Is that just because I used...
Because it had nothing to do with the conversion of packets to bits. It was because... The bandwidth delay product, or I guess, or whatever, what was question B?
The bandwidth is 1 megabit per second, but I can
transmission time. Yeah, transmission time is transmission time is defined to be the length of the packets over the link rate, not the. It's related to this utilization issue,
right?
Right? I think. Are you understanding now?
So in this sense, R is our bandwidth.
Is the megabit per second.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay? Okay.
I think this question is absolutely straightforward, and if you go look at what accept does, the answer will be obvious. And similarly for question four. Any disagreement with that? Any confusion about that? Okay, question five got thrown out. That's why there are only 98 points instead of 102. The problem with five is that there are no right answers given. And I'll tell you why. The intended right answer, that's why I put a big Z through the question on everybody, because it got thrown out. The problem is, I intended the answer to be B. The return value received is no bigger than the number passed. It can be as big as the number that was passed as the buff size. Okay? Smaller than is, strictly speaking, wrong. And so I just threw out the question. That was my mistake. Mindo, typo, sort of mistake. But we'll talk about the other ones because some of your answers were actually interesting and we can illuminate some misconceptions perhaps. Okay, so we talked multiple times, I believe, about how sends and receives on a TCP socket are not synchronized with each other. You can send a number of bytes and the receiver will receive those in multiple receives, which means that the sends and receives amounts don't match up. It is always smaller than the number passed as the size of the buffer. It's always no bigger than the number passed as the size of the buffer, because it returns the number of bytes that were read, right? And it had better not read beyond the end of your buffer, right? That would be a serious mistake in the operating system if it did that. How about C? What does zero mean when you receive on a socket? What's that?
There's no more to be read.
There's no more to be read, right? So if you have read zero, you're never going to read anything but zero again unless you get an error. Yeah.
Could it just be like a slow connection? Maybe you're like...
No. No. Because suppose that there's no data. Then what does receive do? It blocks. There is data.
Right. Okay.
Okay? So either you get at least one byte and you could go on, or you get zero, meaning there are no more bytes and that's what you'll get from then on, or you get an error. Okay. And D is you get minus one when an error occurred. Right. Okay. I don't know what the major issue was with question six. Now I'm having this frightening thought that I may not have scored this one correctly. Did anybody get 5 points for this?
I wish.
Okay, all right. I did score correctly. It says 5 points up there. But I was suddenly thinking, did I score this out of a maximum of four? No, I scored it out of five. Okay.
The previous problem, it says it's out of 5 points. 5 points.
Yeah.
And you said you took off the exam is up to 98 now.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's 97. 97, okay. No, it started out at 102.
Okay.
Okay, 97. All right. So
off by one error. So my second off by one error in one exam.
Okay. So this one is actually important because it is relevant to the project where you were doing this. And this was an example of a question where having worked on the project might have been helpful in understanding what's going on. Some of the answers I got here suggest serious misunderstanding. And if that misunderstanding continues, you're going to have a hard time with the project. So notice that the project is due on Monday, so you will have finished the project before you have to turn this in. Okay, project as layer sets above the network layer. That's fine.
Did good on those. They were easy. Those were the kinds of questions that could be answered off of the cheat sheets if you so desired. I think people did pretty well on this one. A few people didn't have the formula quite right, but I can't think of anything I want to say about that. Any questions about that one? Again, you can look up the answer.
Did you answer the why part, maybe?
No. That's part of the question.
Yeah, that's another point that I want to make. Sometimes putting things in bold seem to make them invisible to certain people. I don't understand, but... it happened on this question that people gave an answer without giving an the requested explanation.
Okay, this problem
ended up being one of the harder ones on the exam, and I really didn't think it would be, but or at least one of the ones that got lower scores. Let's think about, and to succeed at this question, you really have to think about what really is happening when HTTP requests are being done. You can't sort of just gloss over it. You got to think about this process. So, to retrieve all 11 items using HTTP 1.0, making only one connection at a time to the server, how is it going to go? And remember, don't forget TCP's connection setup time. So, if there are 11 things to get, I have to make 11 connections, right? Obviously. For each connection, it takes how many round trip times?
Two.
Two, right? One to make the connection and one to make the request. The request and receive the answer. And then in addition to that, how much more time does it take? The 50 milliseconds to transmit the answer. Right? So, yeah. All right. That's the whole story. A lot of people didn't include the TCP connection setup time for some reason. Or didn't understand what that would be. It's a full round trip to make that TCP connection, right? Because you have to. This is connecting what we talked about in chapter 2 with what we talked about in chapter 3. TCP connection setup is send a SYN packet
get a SYN ACK back, and then send the request. Okay? And then, so that takes another round trip. So it's two round trips plus the 50 milliseconds for 11 things. Okay? So people did better than that on that one than they did on the next one. Under the same conditions, what is the minimum possible time to retrieve all 11 items using 1.1? So, most people thought that in 1.1 we were going to use a single connection to make all of the requests. There were still issues about what does it cost to make that connection in the first place, the TCP connection establishment trip. But then you have to think a little bit more about it, right? Because remember how HTTP 1.1 works. You request the page, and then you have to inspect the page, right? To find out what additional resources it wants. So TCP connection round trip, retrieve the page round trip. Now I can request all of the items essentially in zero transmission time to request them, but another round trip. Right? I have to have retrieved the page after the second round trip and looked at it before I can make the third set of requests, which is all the rest, the 10 images. And that takes essentially another round trip plus the transmission time for those images. Okay?
So just to clarify, there's three round trips for TCP 1.1 and then the time for the transmission.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And if things are in a local cache with transmission time 1 millisecond and round trip latency 1 millisecond, what is the minimum possible time? Well, we still have to get that main page, so that's going to take two round trip times plus its transmission time, and then all the rest come from sort of the local cache. And you can get fancy and think about whether I need to make a separate connection to the cache. Usually not. It's usually sort of daisy chained into the process so that the connection you make there is piggybacked on the other one. So no additional time round trip setup. But the round trip time to request things. Okay? Make sense? So work through those. Draw out some if you need to see exactly what's going on in that protocol. Okay. Next. This was another one where I felt like stuff old turned invisible or something. Because, I don't know. So, let's see. There were reading problems here. There were understanding problems. So, let's start with the understanding problems first. So, some people don't know what this means. At address 0x1000, we have some bytes. And how many bits are in a byte? 8, right? How many bits are in a hex digit? 4, okay? 4 bits make up a hex digit. 8 bits make up a byte. So how many hex digits does it take to make one byte? 2, not 4, not 1. Okay? So people got sort of off track at that level. All right. Now, given that we know that there are 2 hex digits in a byte, what addresses correspond to each of the positions in here? 1000, 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004, etc. All right?
So what number are we asking about when we talk about that address? The
these bytes right here, right? 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 starts right there.
Okay? What number is that?
4.
Not 2. Okay. Somehow, a lot of people turned it into 2. Okay. Okay. A hex digit is 4 bits. 2 hex digits is 8 bits. When I multiply a byte like this, I multiply it by a power of 256. Okay. When I multiply a hex digit alone, I multiply it by a power of 16. Okay. Now, quite a few people did A and B in terms of powers of 256, but then switched to using powers of 16 down here and got confused as a result. I'd say just be powers of 256 throughout. Remember, the big endian, little endianness only has to do with the order of bytes, not the bits within the bytes. Other questions about this? I was just so disappointed with this one because I thought this was a giveaway, and it turned out not to be at all. Okay, so hopefully, once you get through this again carefully with time to think about it, this will be clear. Questions? All right. All right, last page. TCP sender host A sends to host B, 3 back-to-back segments. Everybody knows what back-to-back means? Anybody not know what I mean by back-to-back?
One after the other.
One right after the other, right? No space in between. Okay. With sequence numbers thus and so, length field is 200. What will be the length field of the first and second segments? And everybody did that right, pretty much. 50 and 100. You get that by subtracting the sequence numbers, as everybody did. And why is it important that I say they be back-to-back segments? Because the way TCP works, if I allow time in between, there are other things that could have happened to sort of affect those segments, and maybe there's a gap in there or something. You know, so you can't really tell unless you know that really it's sending new data. All right, being set for the first time. Okay, based on the information above, what do we know? Okay, so this was a reading problem. And I think 2 people read it right, and everybody else read it wrong. It means exactly what it says. What do we know about the values in the ACK field of these segments that are sent from A to B? These segments, the one in part A. And what I got was largely answers about the ACK fields that are sent from B to A in response to these packets. I'm asking about these packets. What do we know about the ACK field in those packets? All right? And it's okay to not know
hint.
As in, the answer might be nothing. Don't know. But explain why
in your answer. Alright? Okay. So, I mean, part C was intended to be in contrast to part B. In some sense, if you answered from B to A for this one, then part C was asking the same thing that you just answered, and why did I do that? Right. So yes. I think pretty much everybody got this right. Okay. Suppose the second segment is lost, never delivered to B. The third segment is delivered. What number is in the act field of the acknowledgement sent by B for that third segment? And remember, let's see, the discussion here is that TCP sends cumulative acts, right? It acknowledges the number of the highest byte, well, the next byte to be received after the last byte that was received in order, contiguously. And it will keep doing that until it gets sort of the next byte, and then it goes on and moves ahead. Okay? So, if some segment is not delivered, and I get a later segment, I certainly can't acknowledge that later segment. What am I going to do? Okay. Look it up. All right.
So that was a question about what part D there was a question about
what B would do. Right? Not a question about what A would do, what B would do in terms of sending an acknowledgement. Question E is a question about what A will do in that situation. So let's think about what happens. So A sends 10 more segments back to back with the first three. So A is just continuously sending packets, and the second segment is lost, as in the previous question. What does B see in that result, in that case? It sees a bunch more packets arriving. What does it do for all those packets? Sends acknowledgments, right? Does it acknowledge with? Same answer as D. So what does A then see? What does host A see as a result of that? What's it going to see? It's going to see those acknowledgments coming back. And what's in those acknowledgments? All the same numbers. And what are those called? Duplicate acts. And what does a TCP sender do when it gets duplicate acts? It resends the thing that's missing, right? So, as a result of that, we could expect that A would detect the duplicate acts and do the duplicate act thing. Okay, F. Suppose that instead of the second data segment being lost, the second acknowledgement is lost. Now what happens at the sender? The key here is, remember, cumulative acts. What kind of acts is B sending in this case? It got the second data segment. So what is B sending? Well, it's sending acts for all of those later packets. So what does A do? It knows things wrong. Right? Because it's got acknowledgments for all of the data that it sent. They're cumulative acts. That's what it means. Right? So, any questions? Yeah.
Wednesday
in class. Yes. So staple your exam behind your new answers, if you would. I'm going to write up and post sort of logistical instructions on today's notes about stuff like that. But for people, yeah.
Just to reiterate, it's we have to like put in the right question and why we got it wrong.
Why you got it wrong?
But not the right question.
Yeah, you don't have to redo. Yes, please, 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 don't write up the right ones, the ones on which you got credit. That's just more things for me to have to figure out.
But you do want us to correct the ones that we got wrong.
I want you to correct the ones that you got wrong and tell me why you got them wrong. Okay. The ones that were right, don't worry about it. Yes, please. We still have questions.
I know you said, but what did you say?
Folks, I'm sorry.
I know you said something earlier about how much print you can receive, but I didn't.
Okay, so you can receive half the difference between your score and a full score. Okay? Yes? Full score would be 97. I will adjust that in the grade book. Thank you for pointing that out.
You could leave it as 102.
No, that would lower everybody's score.
Well, but if we get half of the difference between our score
and 102,
then we get more points back.
That's really
okay. Anything else? All right. I will see you on Friday, and we will continue with the network layer. Let me get this turned off.
Okay, everyone wants to come to like braid you with a bunch of questions.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Rather than.